The birth of the Savior is also a miracle that God became man without ceasing to be God. He, as best as we can say it, is the God-man. That's the best we can verbalize it, the God-man, fully God, fully man. And I like what I read earlier in the first chapter of Matthew, verse number 21. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And here's why. For he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus, the name, if you didn't know, literally means God is Savior. That's what it means. And I don't know of a name more precious than that of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a joyful evening when God's people can come together and celebrate. And really, by way of us doing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, we're remembering our Savior. In fact, this is what it's all about, giving glory and honor to Him, our Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. I think the very best way we can honor Him is twofold. Number one, through remembrance. And then secondly, through obedience. I want you to remember this. You honor someone through remembrance. And you honor someone through obedience. There's many times folks will say, "I love Jesus, but do not do what He says." There's folks that say, "I love the Lord, but don't do what He says." We honor the Lord through remembrance and through obedience, which is why I desire to be here with you all this evening, and also a desire for us as a church family to observe what the Lord has commanded us to do. And so we know from the scriptures that in three separate places, the Lord Jesus recorded for us this command to take of the bread and of the juice, and He said these very words, "Do this in remembrance of Me." Those words are found in Luke 22:19, and also here in this passage we're about to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. It's a precious phrase when you think about it. The Lord says, "This is what you do. This is what you do to remember Me." It's an act only a believer, listen carefully, only a believer, someone who's trusted in Christ, can rightly enjoy, understand, and really honor God with. For the broken body of our Lord and His shed blood of our Savior are real to those who have trusted Him as Savior. They understand the implications of it if you're a child of God. And I think there's no better way this night that we could celebrate His birth than to remember Him, but also to obey Him. I want you to realize several things with me tonight before we partake of the Lord's Supper and remember Him, who was born in a lowly manger to die 33 and a half years later on the cross of Calvary. Would you notice with me the passage in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says this, Paul speaking, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This is the cup, is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, You bless the reading of Thy word. And Father, as we humbly come before this table and think about the juice representing the blood of Christ, and Lord, as we think about the bread representing Your broken body, Father, I pray, Lord, that this would bring honor and glory to You. First, as we remember You, but also in our obedience. And Father, I pray, Lord, this very night that we would rejoice in the birth of our Savior. Lord, would You help us? And Father, I do pray, even if tonight, for some reason, there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that this would be the night that they trust in Him. Lord, we ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen. So the point of this night, is for us to remember Him. And in doing so, we bring honor to His name. We bring honor to Him. This ordinance speaks of the Lord's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and I want you all to understand that it's never, never to be taken lightly. Just notice with me a couple of points, and I'll give them to you. Number one, this ordinance, the Lord's Supper, is given by the Lord. It's given by the Lord. The Bible's very clear. The Apostle Paul explains it here, that this ordinance was given to him. Notice what he says. He says in verse 23, "For I have received of the," notice the words there, "the Lord, that which I also delivered unto you." In other words, Paul is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered this to me, and I in turn has delivered this to these Christians at Corinth. This was not something that was made up. This was not something that was drummed up along the way by men later on. But rather, it was given to you and I because it is right and it is good. And I'm reminded that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to two things, glory, amen, and virtue. Now, it's interesting, we don't speak about the term virtue that much in the church. Probably when's the last time you heard that word spoken? Maybe just now when I read it. But that word means, in the context of that verse, it means courageous, godly living. That's what it means, virtue. Courageous, godly living. We have plenty of traditions that we do here at Liberty Baptist Church, and I want you to understand that there's nothing wrong with traditions. Traditions are just fine. Like the order of the service, I take full responsibility this morning for the little bit of mix-up between the order of the service. I've been changing things up a little bit, and that's okay. We're just adjusting things, and that's wonderful. That's traditions. That's traditions. Components are found in the Scripture, there's no doubt. The fact that we stand behind a pulpit of wood, it's raised up, the fact that we pray, the fact that we sing, the fact that we give, all of this is found in the Scriptures, but how we order it is a tradition. And so there's plenty of traditions. But I want you to understand that the Lord's Supper, this ordinance, is not a tradition of men. This is an ordinance given by the Lord Jesus himself. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is what you're to do. This is how you're to do it. And he showed us. We realize by this that it is only proper for someone who's part of the family of God to take part in this ordinance. And I hope you understand that. Notice with me what it states here in verse number 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered." Notice the words, "unto who?" "Unto you." Now, who's the you? The you is the church family there in Corinth. And so we're talking about saved, born-again believers, those who have been saved, those who have been scripturally baptized, received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then taking that first step of outward obedience of what's already taken place inside of their heart by believers' baptism. All Paul could speak about is what the Lord had delivered to him. And I think, by the way, that's a good policy for you and I as Christians. You and I ought to give to others what the Lord has given to us. And so what the Lord has given to you in his word, my friend, give it to someone else. And might I say tonight, as we think about taking this bread and this juice, can we say this and say, by the way of amen, the Lord Jesus has given us so much, amen? He's given us so much. He's given us himself, first of all. You understand that, my friend, is the greatest gift of all? How would it be eternity without Christ? It wouldn't be worth it, would it? But eternity with Christ is something else. See, everyone's going to live forever somewhere. There'll be those that live in eternity without Christ. And I don't want to be that person. I want to be one that's with Christ for all of eternity. Therefore, I've trusted in Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so along with himself, he tells us in this text, he says, rejoice. Really, he's saying rejoice. You and I can be together for all of eternity. Think of it. For all of eternity. Rejoice with me that I've made a way for you to be reconciled to me by my shed blood. Rejoice with me that, yes, I came to this earth, was robed in flesh, but I've given this to you to remember me. So not only is this blessed ordinance given to us by the Lord Jesus himself, I want you to understand also, number two, this ordinance was given to the church. to the church. This is the responsibility of a local church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. That means we hold up and we hold forth the truth. That's what a pillar does. It holds up and it holds forth. One of the responsibilities we just spoke about this afternoon with a dear brother is about passing on from one generation to the next the body of truth that God has given to us. We hold up and we hold forth the word of God. And so this is part of this. This is what Paul did with all the churches he planted, and that is what you and I are to do as well. And so as we take upon this Lord's Supper, we not only bring honor to the Lord Jesus, but we ensure that the Christians that are growing up around us understand that this was given to us to be part of the function of a local assembly of believers. And then lastly, number three, if you'll remember this, this ordinance was given to remember the Lord. To remember the Lord. As the Lord had instituted this ordinance, he stated this, "This do in remembrance of me." The purpose, therefore, is not to impart grace, as some have erroneously taught, but rather it is because salvation is by God's grace through faith, and that it's already realized in the life of a child of God. In other words, what we're going to do here tonight in just a moment, in thinking about the Lord's birth, we're thinking about his life, his sacrificial death, his burial, his resurrection, is a symbolic way of remembering him. And so we take of the bread, it symbolizes his broken body. We take of the juice, it symbolizes that precious blood that flowed for you and I. There are three periods in which we look at. Number one, we look at the past. We look back into the past. We realize we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, that he was born to go to the cross of Calvary. You and I have the great privilege, I hope you understand, to look backwards to the cross. The Lord himself said in Matthew 13:17, "Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." And so you and I were looking back to the past when Jesus was born, when he lived and he died according to the scriptures. We do so through the eye of faith, believing the very word of God, knowing that we know him through his word and his indwelling presence. But then in like manner, we look and remember our own past, how we had our own conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We're by nature before Christ, the children of wrath, even as others, Ephesians 2:3. But now as Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were afar off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. This, my friend, is our look towards the past in remembering him. But then secondly, we remember him in the present. In the present. Notice what the Bible says in verse 28, in verse number 11. As we look to the present, verse 28 says this, "But let a man examine himself." This is us looking to the present to ensure that we are where we need to be with the Lord Jesus. It would bring dishonor to the Lord for us to take lightly this ordinance of remembering him, concerning him. In fact, it would be a mockery to God the Father. It would be a mockery to God the Son. It would be a mockery to God the Holy Spirit, through the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself without spot to God. And this we will do momentarily in just a moment when I close during the invitation time. We challenge every one of you to examine yourselves. We'll just be for a brief moment as you sit there and meditate and examine yourselves to make sure that you're right before the Lord. But then lastly, not only do we look to the past, we look to the present, but I would challenge you in this way. Thirdly, we look to the prophetic future. The prophetic future. The end of verse 26, it oftentimes goes unnoticed, but if you look at it with me, it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup," notice what it says, "ye do shew the Lord's death." And then what are those last three words? "Till he come." This is a reference to the Lord coming for his bride, his church. This ordinance is given to the church and therefore is to continue. How long? How long? until he comes again. You can imagine the importance of this as we are described as the bride of Christ. What a shame it would be for the bride to forget her groom. What a shame it would be for the groom to forget his bride. We can rest assured that the Lord Jesus will never forget us. He'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. But because you and I are frail creatures, the Lord has graciously given us this way to bring honor and glory to him and to never forget him. And so we do celebrate this day, his amazing birth. We celebrate this day, his amazing ministering life recorded for us in the gospel records. We celebrate his sacrificial death, not only because he paid our sin debt, but also for all of those who will be present around the throne of grace in eternity that will have trusted in him. Let us never forget that his body was broken for me and it was broken for you. Let us never forget that his blood was shed for me and it was shed for you. That atoning blood of Christ, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We celebrate also this day his burial, the fact that 3 days later he raised up out of the grave for our justification. By the way, we don't celebrate a dead Savior. We celebrate a risen Savior. He is alive right now and forevermore. Let us give honor to the Lord Jesus. And at this time, we'll have an invitation if the pianist will come forward. We'll have an invitation for the church family. And I'm challenging you as the pastor here at Liberty Baptist Church to look presently and inwardly. Let a man examine himself carefully before we take of this bread and of this juice. And I also invite you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, what better day than today for you to come down this aisle? And don't worry about the fact that we're about to take the Lord's Supper. You just come. The Lord Jesus wants you to come. He wants you to receive him as your personal Savior and you to enter into a personal relationship with him. Let's pray.